I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Tomorrow's time to take the leisure clothes off and put the work clothes back on or the student clothes back on. It's been a wonderful holiday season for Kimberly and I, especially having our niece Stephanie with us. But I was reminded this past week of a different type of New Year's celebration that I participated in some 9 years ago. In the southeast region of India, the state of Tamil Nadu, there is a local New Year festival. It doesn't happen on January 1, but it happens in a different calendar of year, also in January. But this festival is called Pongal. And I had never heard of Pongal before until I was in a mountainous region of Tamil Nadu. And I was there, and we were told that the day that we were coming into this town, they were celebrating Pongal. And I said, okay, celebration, sure. Let's bring on the celebration. And we learned quickly in that day all of what Pongal meant. It was both a harvest festival and a New Year festival. And the most exciting thing, the big part of Pongal, was that all of the homes were to get rid of their clay pots from the previous year. They would take the pots from the kitchen and they would smash them up, or they would throw them away, or they would burn them up, and they would buy new clay pots, really good for the clay industry if you were a merchant. But the thought was to begin anew, to get rid of that which had been charred or that would affect the taste of the cooking, and for new opportunity and new blessing. And then the most exciting thing is that they would take the new clay pots, the new clay cooking vessels, and they would make something called pongal, named after the festival. And it would be rice and milk and sugar and raisins and nuts. It was very sweet. And you would put it in the clay pot, and you would cook it for hours until finally the milk, the point of this is for the milk to do what you don't want it to do at home, to boil over. The milk would boil, and you had to wait, and as soon as it would boil over and splash all over the new pot and all over the ground, people would jump up and they would say, "Pongal a pongal." Can you say that?
Pongal.
You got it. You're ready to celebrate. And Pongal comes from the word overflowing. And it was a great tradition for me to witness and to learn about this regional way to celebrate a new year, because I was able to think about the things that I hang on to, the dirty cooking pots, the burn and the charred vessels that I carry in my life. And it helped me to think of how to let that go in a season and to take something new on, and also to remember the way in which we celebrate. We sometimes need to let things bubble over and overflow so we can acknowledge that we are blessed in our lives to overflowing. And I didn't mention the sweetest part was getting to taste the pongal, which helped us remember and realize the goodness of God's blessing in our lives. Well, what I didn't mention is that this is a regional festival, but it's a Hindu ritual, a Hindu festival in that area. And I was there as a pilgrim, as a seeker. I was there with a seminary class traveling around India, learning about different religions of India, but also about Christian living in the context of a religious plurality. And I was there, I was a guest. I was a seeker, if you will, not seeking to be a part of another tradition, but seeking to allow my own experience, a religious tradition, to be broadened and strengthened. And while I didn't check my faith at the door, this experience helped me to understand my own Christian faith and understanding a little deeper, a little broader. I was not seeking to let go of my faith, but I was seeking to understand a broader world. And it really, really helped broaden my faith in that experience. The story of the wise men is a very similar story. And in that, the wise men, one of the most overlooked facts of the wise men was that they were not Jews. They were not members of the people or the tribe of Israel. They were not worshipers of the God of Abraham. They were not descendants of David. They were not people who Jesus would have been preaching to, calling out to in his ministry. We celebrate today Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany comes from the word epiphania, which means appearance or revelation or presence. And for millennia, the church has celebrated Epiphany traditionally on January 6th, to mark the visitation of the wise men and for the revelation or the appearance of God through the baby Jesus, for them to experience that God had become incarnate in flesh. But so often, through our traditions, we have romanticized and we've made decisions about their names and where they've come from and what they look like, and we put them in our nativity scenes. Let's take a look at the gospel passage. It says that wise men came from the east, seeking the child that was born from the star. It does not say that there were three. It does not give them names. It does not say from what religious tradition they were members of. But what we do know is that there were people who came seeking the baby because they had studied stars. They were astrologers, if you will. Many scholars speculate that they were Babylonian or Persian priests, but they were seeking to understand, and they were seeking to grow in their own faith and experience. And their study had led them to understand that in the tradition of the Israelites, a new king was to be born in this place, and they came. They invested time and they invested a journey because they were seeking truth. It wasn't because of a religious decree. They weren't invited. They weren't told to go. But they were seeking. They saw a sign, and they followed the sign. In the Epiphany, the church, we celebrate our seeking nature. The nature not in which we are told or given a doctrine or principles to go by, but the Epiphany is about God being present, God's self, in humanity. And it was that child which the wise men or the kings or the magi, however you want to refer to them as, they came seeking God himself in the form of a child. Throughout Advent, we've been looking at what it means to seek. We've looked at seeking peace and hope and joy and love. And ultimately, in Christmas Eve, we see that the source of everything we're looking for in our life comes from God, from seeking God. And as the wise men came from afar, they were seeking to expand their own experience, and they came seeking the child, not a doctrine, not an ordinance, or not a decree, but they came seeking something that was real, a real encounter, a tangible encounter. I mention this because the word seeker has become a buzzword in religious communities, particularly in the 90s and the last 10 years in the 2000s. The word seeker, as it's been coined, has come to define people who have not been invested, or as marketers would say, they have no brand loyalty, right? My parents grew up Methodist, therefore I was Methodist. Some of you may have grown up Catholic or Presbyterian, but for many, there was no brand loyalty, no investment in a particular tradition or way, but an interest in something greater. And for megachurches and other religious communities in the 90s and the 2000s, those folks were seekers. They were not committed to a particular path or denomination, but they were seeking something more. They wanted a true encounter with God, but they had perhaps been turned off because of corruption or because of disappointments or because of their own experience, broken experience, being rejected, and their own Christian or other religious traditions. And therefore, seeker has come to define another term, which folks call the unchurched. I don't particularly like that term because I don't know what it means to be churched. So I'm going to go back to the term seeker. I believe that in Epiphany, I identify more with the Magi, those who seek not something because it has been ordered or decreed and not something through a particular religious channel or brand loyalty, but seeking something that is real, that will alter my life, something that has substance, something that has value, something that has practicality for me in my life, not just because someone has told me. Have you ever felt like this? Are you a seeker? Have you been seeking something? Have you been turned off to one thing or another in your experience? This is the day. The Epiphany is the time in which we can come and recognize that our journey, that our Christian faith is an imperfect one. The church as an institution is an imperfect one. Religious leaders as preachers of the gospel are, as was told in the New Testament, we were called jars of clay. Gifts of the gospel and of good news of God's presence was invested in flawed vessels. For it is not the jars or the vessels that tell of the good news that is to be worshipped, but it is God, God's self, that is revealed to us that we seek to encounter. Like the Magi from the East, seeking God takes a journey. To seek God in our lives means that sometimes we have to go outside of our comfort zone. Sometimes we need to risk. Sometimes we need to travel. We need to sit next to people we wouldn't normally sit next to. We need to listen to people that we wouldn't normally listen to. We need to advocate for people whom we don't even know. And we're called to love people who are so often unlovable. It is a journey, often to a foreign land outside of our comfort zone. We've celebrated the birth of the Christ child in Christmas. But today, let us seek to meet and know him through our lives, through our actions, and through our journey of faith. The seeking never ends, but it goes on as a part of the way that we live our lives. Let us seek God in faith, in community together. Amen.